This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay, bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu salamu ala rasulullah, ala alihi wa sahbihi wa ala, thumma amma ba'd, to proceed. So today, inshallah, we will go over conditional divorce, Bab al-Talaq al-Mu'allaq, from Ibn Qudama's book. Imam Ibn Qudama, who died in the year 620, wrote a book called the Umdat al-Fiqh and Manual in the Hanbali Mazhab. And we are done with the fiqh of worship, fiqh of transactions, fiqh of inheritance. We're doing the fiqh of family now, and we are almost, well, you know, like three quarters through it. Today, inshallah, we will do the conditional divorce. We've talked before about the explicit and implicit divorce last week. Prior to this, we talked about the chapter of divorce in general. This is the time to talk about condition of divorce or talaq al-mu'allaq. Imam al-Qudama rahimahullah ta'ala said, يَصِحُّ تَعْلِيقُ الطَّلَاقِ وَالْعِتَاقِ بِشُرُوطٍ بَعْدَ النِّكَاحِ وَالْمِلْكِ. It is valid to make a condition of divorce or emancipation as long as this happens after marriage or ownership, respectively. So, what do we want to say here? Talaq al-mu'allaq. He said, يَصَحَّ تَعْلِيقَ الطَّلَاقِ. It is valid to make a condition of divorce, وَالْعِتَاق, and emancipation, بِشُرُوط بَعْدَ النِّكَاحِ وَالْمِلْكِ, as long as this happens, with conditions, as long as this happens after marriage or ownership, respectively. So, at-talaq al-mu'allaq is when you say, is when one person, a person says to his wife, you are divorced if you visit your brother. You are divorced if you allow this woman into the house. You are divorced in the beginning of Muharram. You are divorced Or maybe not. Maybe if he says to someone, my wife is divorced if you don't eat. My wife is divorced if you sit on that chair, you know. Some people can be completely ridiculous. So what happens to that type of talaq, and what is the ruling of that type of talaq? One thing that we want to be clear on is that this has never been addressed by Allah or the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This talaq mu'allaq, condition of divorce, has never been addressed in the Quran or the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The talaq that happened during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was all munajjaz. Munajjaz means what? Immediate. Immediately effective. So, in this case, is it expected that there would be disagreement about the ruling of conditional divorce? Yes. But surprisingly, the disagreement was not really much. Somehow, one position of the Sahaba did sort of prevail to a great extent, that the agreement of the four mazahib is that it takes place. Condition of divorce takes place. But first, there are two different types of condition of divorce. When you make the ajal, or the term of this divorce, a specific date that will certainly come. So when you say you are divorced on the day of Eid al-Adha, or Eid al-Fitr, or Muharram first, or anything that is not conditional, but it is talaq fil mustaqbal, in that sense we could even say it is not muallaq, it is talaq that is basically meant to take place in the future. It's a future divorce. So January 1st, for instance. So there is a specific time. And then there is the talaq al-mustaqbal, talaq al-mustaqbal or talaq in the future that is contingent talaq. Certain contingencies. That is, if you walk out of this door, you're divorced. If you let this woman into the house, you're divorced, and so on and so forth. What is the ruling on this one? The ruling on this one is within Ahl Sunnah, because keep in mind that the Shia al-Imamiyya do not believe in conditional divorce altogether. And it may not be surprising because it is one of the, you know, as we will see the evidence here, one report is attributed to Ibn Umar, one report is attributed to Ibn Mas'ud. They don't consider them authorities. And there is a report attributed to Ali radiallahu anhu that is counter to this, although controversial, its traceability. And there are some conflicting reports from Ibn Abbas and even Ibn Umar concerning, you know, conditional divorce. So we're not talking about Shia al-Imamiyya. If we are limiting ourselves in this discussion to Ahl Sunnah, then this divorce that is attached to a certain time in the future does not happen according to Ibn Hazm only. It happens according to everybody else. Yeah, we're coming to this. It happens according to everybody else. Now, does it happen right now or upon, you know, the arrival of this time? The Hanafis, Shafi'is, and Hanbalis said when the time comes. The Malikis said it's immediate. It is immediate. Okay. Contingent ones. If you don't eat, you're divorced. If you eat, you're divorced. If you stand up, you're divorced. If you sit down, you're divorced. If you walk out of the store, you're divorced. If you let that woman in, you're divorced, and so on. So that is contingent. Now, does that... Okay, so here we will have to divide this among Ahl Sunnah into sort of three positions at the outset. One position is... it happens when the condition happens or takes place, the talaq becomes effective. The talaq becomes effective. Whose position is this? The four imams. It happens. Who said it does not happen? Of course, Ibn Hazm. And I think Kuwait and Morocco and Libya follow the position of Ibn Hazm. Well, under pressure, I guess, everybody becomes... Yeah. Yes, yeah, so it doesn't count. Correct. And then, so who came in the middle and has like a position that is sort of a compromise position? Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, said that if he intended to divorce her upon the occurrence of this condition, she is divorced, if he intended to deter her from this act, it is not a divorce. It is a yameen, halif, yameen, that he needs to expiate for. And just like any yameen, you expiate for any yameen. How do you expiate for a yameen? يطعام عشرة مساكين من أوسط الثمن أهليكم أو كسوتهم أو تحرير رقبة فمن لم يجد فصيام ثلاثة أيام. So to feed or to clothe 10 people or to emancipate a slave or to fast 3 days if you don't find any of them. Okay. So Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said that it depends. It depends on his intention.
Is this the same reasoning of Ibn Hazm also?
No, Ibn Hazm said it doesn't count at all. It's not contingent upon intention, it just doesn't count. Because Ibn Hazm argued that it never have, that, you know, he used Ibn Taymiyyah's argument for the talaq al-bid'i. He said that this is not according to the Qur'an and the Sunnah. Divorce is a religious act, has to be in accordance with the Qur'an and Sunnah. There is no divorce attached to the future in the Qur'an and the Sunnah. There is no whatsoever. Therefore, it does not happen. It is foreign to our scriptures, and it is invalid, lagh, frivolous, superfluous. It doesn't count. Okay, so... So then, why did they have all of this disagreement? As we said, if we go back to the Qur'an, is there anything that we can use in the Qur'an? Well, some people say that, yes, there is something, like the people who will defend Ibn Hazm. Certainly, Ibn Taymiyyah's position became the position of Egypt, Syria, Jordan, UAE, despite your, like, but anyway, UAE as well, several others, ETC, so several others. Most countries followed Ibn Taymiyyah's position, not Ibn Hazm's position, and not the position of the majority. And of course, the reasons are quite obvious, you know. Not because they necessarily believed in the strength of Ibn Taymiyyah's position scripturally, but under pressure of the reality. But also, to be fair to the mashayikh also, they felt that the position of Ibn Taymiyyah is a valid position. Otherwise, they would have not taken it. But they felt it is a valid position that we can uphold. So anything in the Qur'an... In fact, the Qur'an would support Ibn Hazm's position, because الطلاق مرتان في إمساك بمعروف أو تسريح بإحسان, it is talking about the language of the Quran. It's talking about talaq of immediate effect, talaq that is munajjis, talaq that is not attributed to the future. But is it clear? No, certainly not. There is nothing in the Quran that is clear here in support of any of these positions. Go to the Sunnah. And people could try to find something in the Sunnah. They can try to say, for instance, المسلمون عند شروطهم. Muslims abide by their conditions. But then at the same time, is this really the context of al-Muslimuna and the shurutihim? Or the context is when people, you know, promises and contracts and clauses and contracts and fulfillment of those clauses and so on and so forth. That is the context. And if we say al-Muslimuna inda shurutihim, and you are bound by your condition, you are bound by your vow, Ibn Taymiyyah says, but you don't say this with itq, for instance, all the time. And by that time, by the way, this position of Ibn Taymiyyah is a position in the Hanbali madhab as well. Is a position within Hanbali madhab that is not the authorized position. That is not the authorized position. So he says that when someone vows, according to the majority, and that is the Hanbalis and Shafi'is, and the stronger position within the Hanafi and the Maliki madhab, when someone makes a vow, you don't consider this vow to be a binding vow unless it is qurba. It's an act of obedience. But if someone vows to eat or drink, let alone do something bad like talaq, but if someone vows to do something mubah, you do not consider this binding according to the position of the majority of the scholars. Therefore, that Muslimuna inda shurutihim is not applicable here. This is someone who made it binding on himself to divorce his wife upon the occurrence of a certain condition, but that should not be binding because it is not a qurba. It is actually detested or even forbidden by default, as we have discussed before, if it leads to harm and it's unwarranted. So then there is nothing really in the Sunnah clearly about talaq al-mu'allaq. Then having, you know, nothing in the Quran or the Sunnah about it, then you go down, descend to the Sahaba, the companions. Has this come up during the time of the companions? Yes, it has. And then what did they think about it? Conflicting reports. But the Jumhur may say that the clearer reports are in support of the occurrence of this divorce. Why? Because we have that report in Bukhari from Abu Rafa that Ibn Umar was asked about a man who said to his wife, you will be divorced al-batta, which means finally, final divorce, irrevocable divorce, if you go out. He said if she goes out, she will be butted. She will be finalized. And if not, they're not. That's what Ibn Umar said, according to this report by al-Bukhari from Abu Rafa. Now, how does the Jumhur use that report? They tell you, it happens. Then we tell you, that's what Ibn Umar said, and that is what is also reported from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Bayhaqi reported something similar from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, although with a weak chain of narration. But the preponderance of reports from the Sahaba would support the occurrence of this divorce. So the Jumhur would basically make a claim to this hadith of Ibn Umar, or this report from Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. So how does Ibn Hazm answer this? He says conflicting reports. Some of the Sahaba said this, some of the Sahaba said that. We're not bound except by the Quran and the Sunnah. There's nothing in the Quran and the Sunnah. It does not happen because the default is that marriage continues. That is the default. Until you prove it, and you can't prove it, so everything stays the same. That's what Ibn Hazm said. So how did Ibn Taymiyyah and the school that supports him said, how did they deal with this report from Ibn Umar and this report from Ibn Mas'ud and so on? They said, we had conflicting reports from the Sahaba, And the way to reconcile between all of them is to say that the reports that said that the talaq would take place are pertinent to the scenario where he intended to divorce her, where he said this intending to divorce her, and the reports that said that the talaq does not take place are pertinent to another scenario because al-jam'a awla min at-tarjih, reconciling the different reports takes precedence over canceling some of them. And in order for us to reconcile them, these reports and the reports from Ali radiallahu anhu that would deny this and other reports, even from Ibn Abbas and so on, in order for us to reconcile all the reports, we will have to basically create different scenarios where the different reports apply. And we have two scenarios. He said this intending to divorce her. When that condition takes place, it happens. He said this intending to deter her or to deter someone else from a particular action or to entice them to a particular action. It does not happen. It becomes a yameen. He needs to expiate for it, and that's it. So this is how they addressed the different reports from the Sahaba. And then you could start after this, after the transmitted adilla naqliya, you could start to talk about adilla aqliya, rational proofs. Rational proofs. And the Jumhur would say that if he is capable of divorce, then he can basically attach it to a time in the future, attach it to a particular condition, because it is his right. So it's like something that is in his hand. He can use it whenever he wants, and he could use it immediately, or he can use it in the future. So Ibn Hazm would say to them, so why are you not saying the same thing about raja'a, taking her back, or about marriage, you know, when everybody, al-wali and the woman and so on, say, upon the occurrence of something, we are married. You know, I offer acceptance upon and attach it to the occurrence of something. Can we do this? No, we can't. Therefore, why are you making it okay in divorce? So the rational arguments will never be just completely decisive from all sides. So we are left with these reports from some of the Sahaba. I uphold the position of Imam Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala because I think it is the best way to reconcile, and it is somewhat moderate in the middle. Philosophically, I believe that Ibn Hazm's position is more coherent, but that's a different discussion. But it is rationally more coherent. But that is with all respect to the agreement of the four madhahib, which is always a weighty position that has to be heeded and that should be the default until a different position is mainstreamed by a consortium of scholars or councils and fatwa agencies and so on to be mainstreamed into orthodoxy. So, but this is the breakdown of this discussion. Now, Imam Ibn Qudama, rahimahullah, Imam Ibn Qudama, rahimahullah, said, بِشُرُوطٍ بَعْدَ النِّكَاحِ وَالْمِلْكِ. So he said that it is valid after marriage or ownership. After marriage or ownership. Why is he saying this? Basically to say to the disputants that this will not take place before marriage. Because this is a controversial issue. But the Hanbalis and the Shafi'is will say that basically, (clears I know that you admire my handwriting very much. I used to be the worst in class, in both Arabic and English, by the way. So this is a report from Tirmidhi. Tirmidhi considered it reliable, where the Prophet ﷺ says, there is no vow binding on the son of Adam, لا نظر لابن آدم فيما لا يملك. There is no vow binding on the son of Adam concerning that which he does not own. There is no emancipation binding on the son of Adam concerning that which he does not own. And there is no divorce binding on the son of Adam concerning that which he does not own. So you cannot divorce someone that you're not married to. So you cannot say, if I divorce any woman or that woman and something happens, then she is divorced. If I marry, you know. And then she's divorced. She's not married to you yet, and you cannot make munajjas talaq now. You cannot attach talaq to something in the future. So that's why he said this. There was like one thing, since I mentioned wala itaq and there is no emancipation, there is one thing here that one report that Ibn Taymiyyah also, rahimahullah, used to defend his position that it depends on what the person means, which is a report from Abu Rafa also, where he reported that Layla bint al-Ajma commanded him. So Abu Rafa says that Layla bint al-Ajma said to him, you know, that all of my money is for charity. And all of my slaves are emancipated, and I become Jew or Christian if you did not divorce your wife. So كل مال لي هدي وكل عبد لي حر وأنا يهودية أو نصرانية إن لم تطلق إن لم أفرق بينك وبين زوجتك or إن لم تطلق زوجتك something of that nature or زوجك or something of that nature. So then, you know, so he wants to be kind to her, but he just doesn't want to divorce his wife. So they went to Zainab bint Umm Salama. وَكَانَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ الْفِقْهُ ذُكِرَتْ زَيْنَبْ. So to tell you that, you know, some of our like women scholars were like had a very high status. So even though it is the time of the Sahaba, they are going to Zainab bint Umm Salama to ask her about this. And she said, there is nothing binding at all on her, nothing binding at her. Don't divorce your wife. Then she was not convinced, I guess. And they went to Hafsa afterwards, and she repeated the same thing. And then they went to Ibn Umar afterwards, and he had repeated the same thing. Although he's the one in the other report from Abu Rafa, also in Bukhari, who said otherwise. But here, she did not say, you know, she's a woman, she does not own the divorce. But where is the shahid? Where is the point here that Ibn Taymiyyah used? This is the point that Ibn Taymiyyah used. If she said, all of my slaves are emancipated, if this does not happen, and we got her off the hook here, despite the fact that emancipation is the most beloved thing to Allah, and we said that it's not binding on her, and she said that she would be Yahudiya and Nasraniya, and by consensus, that would not be binding. She does not become a Yahudiya or Nasraniya if this condition does not take place. But Ibn Taymiyyah is saying, if we did not make emancipation binding on her, and it is the most beloved act to Allah, how come we are making divorce binding on the man when it is a hated thing to Allah? when it is a hated act by Allah. So that's another point also he used to defend this position. Okay. Then... No, she had slaves. But she said if the Abu Rafa does not divorce his wife, then all of my money will be for charity, all of my slaves will be emancipated, and I become Jew or Christian. So they said all of this is nonsense, and they told Abu Rafa to not divorce his wife, but they did not make it binding on her to do all of the above. Yes. Then the Shaykh said, وَلَا يَصِحُّ قَبْلَهُ فَلَوْ قَالَ إِن تَزَوَّجْتُ فُلَانَةً فَهِيَ طَالِقٌ أَوْ إِن مَلَكْتُهَا فَهِيَ حُرَّةٌ فَتَزَوَّجَهَا أَوْ مَلَكَهَا لَمْ تَطْلُقْ وَلَمْ تَعْتَقْ. It is not valid before that, which is marriage or ownership. For example, if he says, if I marry so-and-so, she is divorced, or if I own her, she is free, and then he marries her or owns her, she does not become divorced or free. And then he said, وَأَدَوَاتُ الشَّرْطِ سِتْ إِنْ وَإِذَا وَأَيْ وَمَتَى وَمَنْ وَكُلَّمَا وَلَيْسَ فِيهَا مَا يَقْتَضِي التَّكْرَارِ إِلَّا كُلَّمَا. The conjunctions of conditional sentences are six. In, if, iza, once, ay, whichever, mata, when, man, whoever, kullama, every time. None of them indicates repetition except kullama. So kullama, qumti fa anti talaq. Every time you stand up, you are divorced. She stands up three times, she's divorced finally. And people used to do this, and they would count it against them. And then we get into this, the dilemma of tahleel, because it's just... Then, وَكُلُّهَا إِذَا كَانَتْ وَكُلُّهَا إِذَا كَانَتْ مُثْبِتَ ثَبَتَ حُكْمُهَا عِنْدَ وُجُودِ شَرْطِهَا. فإذا قال إن قمت فأنت طالق فقامت طلقت وانحل شرطه وإن قال كلما قمت فأنت طالق طلقت كلما قامت. For all of them, when used in an affirmative sentence, the consequence takes place upon the occurrence of the condition antecedent. For example, if he says, if you stand up, you are divorced, and then she stands up, she becomes divorced, and the conditional statement is no longer operative. However, if he says, every time you stand up, that's kullama. You have become divorced, she becomes divorced every time she stands up. وَإِنْ كَانَتْ نَافِيَةً كَقَوْلِهِ إِنْ لَمْ أُطَلِّقِّي فَأَنْتِ طَالِقٌ كَانَتْ عَلَى التَّرَاخِي إِذَا لَمْ يَنْوِ وَقْتًا بِعَيْنِهِ فَلَا يَقَعُ الطَّلَاقِ إِلَّا فِي آخِرِ أَوْقَاتِ الْإِمْكَانِ. If used in a negative sentence, as when he says, if I don't divorce you, you are divorced, it will be suspended if he did not intend a particular time without the divorce occurring until the last time of possibility. What is the last time of possibility? A second before his or her death, whichever comes first. وسائر الأدوات على الفور فإذا قال متى لم أطلقي فأنت طالق ولم يطلقها طلقت في الحال. The rest of the conditional clauses aside from if will mean immediacy. For example, if he says when I don't divorce you, you are divorced, and does not divorce her, she becomes immediately divorced. وإن قال كلما لم أطلقي فأنت طالق فمضى زمن يمكن طلاقها فيه ثلاثا ولم يطلقها طلقت ثلاثا إن كانت مدخولا بها. If he says every time I don't divorce you, you become divorced, and a time elapses during which he could have divorced her three times, but he did not divorce her, then she becomes divorced three times if her marriage was consummated. Why? Because if her marriage was not consummated, the first divorce is enough to become finalized, غير رجعي, not a رجعي طلاق, where you know you can have a second divorce only in a رجعي طلاق. And you know Imam Ibn Taymiyyah's position that you cannot have a second divorce except after رجعه, not just in a رجعي طلاق, but after you take her back, divorce, take back, divorce, take back.
Okay.
Because according to the majority, the three become effective one after the other in a divorce that is unfinalized. And this is, we're talking about an unfinalized divorce after consummation. That becomes, if he divorced once, you can divorce a second time before Raja. It's only Ibn Taymiyyah who said that you have to take her back to divorce her. وَإِنْ قَالَ What? He says, every time I don't divorce you, you are divorced. Well, every time I don't divorce you, you are divorced. Then 3 seconds lapsed from that sentence. He could have divorced her in the 3 seconds. Since he did not divorce her, she is divorced. I mean, it's funny, but anyway. وإن قال كلما ولدت ولدا فأنت طالق فولدت توأمين طلقت بالأول وبانت بالثاني لانقضاء عدتها به ولم تطلق به. If he says every time you give birth to a child you become divorced and she gives birth to twins, then she becomes divorced upon the birth of the first. Upon the birth of the second child, her divorce becomes finalized because her عدة is ended by this birth, but no divorce results from his birth. So if he tells her every time you have a child, you become divorced, and she had twins. Okay, so the first one came out, she became divorced. What is the idda of a pregnant woman?
Given birth.
When the second one came out, her idda ended. That is the shortest idda you could have. When the second one came out, her idda ended. Yes, but the first baby that came out, عدّة is استبراء الرحم. That's, you know, at not only that, but at the heart of it is making sure that there is no pregnancy. Now, the first one came out, and he told her, every time you give birth, you're divorced. So the first divorce took place when the first one came out. Should she, now she's divorced. She should wait for her عدّة, right? When does her عدّة end?
So she's divorced again now. She's having another one. So
she's no. Why does the second one not count? Because the second one came when she was finalized. Her divorce was finalized. Therefore, she's not subject to more divorces. She's not subject to more divorces. You're only subject to more divorces, according to the majority, if it is an unfinalized divorce and you are still in your عدّة. Once your عدّة ends, you're not subject to divorce. You're a foreign woman, not subject to divorce. Now, this woman became divorced when the first baby came out, right? Her عدّة ended when the second baby came out. Therefore, she is not any more subject to divorce.
So she can marry somebody else if she wants to?
Yes, she can marry someone else. Finalized without recourse and finalized with recourse. So this is finalized with recourse, but it is still finalized, but with recourse. Huh? They can remarry, but it's going to be a new contract and everything, not raja'a, a new marriage.
If he takes her back before the second man is born, is she still mukhatabah by that shart? Or let's say the first one is born, then she has raja'a here, right?
The first one is born, she has raja'a.
So if he takes her back before the second one comes out?
If he takes her back before the second one comes out, then with the second one, he will have another divorce. وَإِنْ قَالَ إِنْ حِتِّي فَأَنْتِ طَالِقٌ طَلُقَتْ بِأَوَّلِ الْحَيْضِ فَإِنْ تَبَيَّنَ أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ بِحَيْضٍ لَمْ تَطْلُقْ وَإِنْ قَالَتْ قَدْ حِتُّ فَكَذَّبَهَا طَلُقَتْ وَإِنْ قَالَ قَدْ حِتِّي فَكَذَّبَتْهُ طَلُقَتْ بإقراره وإن قال إن حت فأنت وضرتك طالقتان فقالت قد حت فكذبها طالقت دون ضرتها. If he says when you menstruate you become divorced, she becomes divorced at the beginning of her haid. If it turns out that it was not haid, then she is not divorced. If she says I did menstruate and he contradicts her, she becomes divorced. So if he tells her once you, like if you have haid, you're divorced, she becomes divorced when she has haid. But who is to be trusted with this? She. Because she knows that whether she had haid or not. If it turned out that it was not haid, she thought it was haid, turned out that it was not haid, the divorce will be revoked. If she says, I did menstruate, and he says, no, you did not, we will believe her, not him. Maybe she wants to get rid of him. But she, like we will believe her and not him. She becomes divorced. If he says you menstruated and she contradicts him, we will believe him. She becomes divorced because of his admission, because it is his loss. So we will believe him because أَقَرَّ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ that his divorce is effective. If he says, if you menstruate, then you and my other wife are divorced, and she says, I menstruated, but he contradicts her, then only she becomes divorced and not his other wife. Why is this? Because إقرارها على الغير لا يقبل. Because her admission, our acknowledgement concerning another person is not accepted. Her acknowledgement will only be accepted concerning her divorce, not her co-wife's divorce. And that brings us to the end of the talaq al-muallaq. Now, the last thing I wanted to mention that was not mentioned before, and I may could have mentioned it when I was talking about kullama every time and things of that nature. Can you make that conditional divorce and rescind it? Like, if you let this woman in, you become divorced. Can you come tomorrow and rescind it? The agreement of the four mazahib is, no, you cannot. Can you, when you say, every time you stand up, you are divorced, can you rescind it? No. Three divorces will happen automatically. You can't rescind it. Who said you can rescind it? Ibn Taymiyyah said you can rescind it. And it is a position in the Hanbali madhab that's not the authorized position. But also many legislative bodies adopted that position, that you can, in fact, rescind it. After you make the statement of the condition of divorce, you can take it back, according to Ibn Taymiyyah. We can, no, that's it. We can just, take it.